Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
If you feed the Spirit, you get stronger. Get into the Word of God. Read, study, apply the Word of God. Pray, fast, give, witness, share, represent. Feed the Spirit, it gets stronger. It gets stronger, and then the result is the Spirit gets stronger, the flesh gets weaker. That's the battle here. It's very practical. It's very elementary in one sense. What you feed gets stronger. What you starve gets weaker.
Are you feeding your spirit or are you feeding the flesh? Pastor James today reminds us that whichever one you feed grows and whichever one you starve dies. That makes sense, but some folks try to feed them both. The flesh and the spirit are opposed to each other. We can't successfully nurture both. The Bible is clear that the cares of this world can choke out God's word. If we don't nurture the seed of God's word in our daily lives, then we'll be barren. Let's water the word that God plants into our hearts every day. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Romans chapter 8 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Romans chapter 8, if you don't mind. Romans chapter 8. We are cruising through the book of Romans, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Start in verse 1, chapter 1, and we're going to eventually get through to the end of this one. However, in the middle, smack dab in the middle, is Romans chapter 8, which many godly men, pastors, biblical scholars, theologians, and all that stuff, they all would agree. I can't remember. I hate not being able to appropriate a quote with the right guy, but in my head, I think it's Donald Barnhouse. One of those guys said, if your Bible falls on the floor, the chapter it should open up to is Romans chapter 8. Okay? Like, that is like, it's an amazing chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. You and I, as believers, if you're a Christ follower, you should be reading and meditating on Romans chapter 8 as often as possible. Okay, because it's just jam-packed with truth for you and I today on how to make it through life today. All of the things that have been made available to you today to have success, not just to survive, because the role of the Christian is not just to survive Earth, it's to thrive here on this planet, serving God. But you can't do that on your own. You need the Holy Spirit. And Romans chapter 8 lets you know, yeah, you need Him, and here's all the things that He's made available to you. Okay, so that's why we're taking our time going through chapter 8. We went through the first 11 verses last time. The main emphasis from the first 11 verses was what Paul started off with, was with the fact that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The big man upstairs, right, as our world likes to classify him, and then also make him look like Zeus or something. He's got a lightning bolt in his hand, and he's just ready to destroy you, right? Because you're bad people. Well, you're not bad people. You make bad decisions, all right? That's fair to say, right? Like, we sin. Paul throws a whole wrench in that and saying, no, for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. The price has been paid by Jesus on the cross, and that it was solidified by the fact that the tomb is still empty to this day. And so forever, you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is not a single thing you can do to remove that. I believe your eternity in Jesus Christ is secure, okay? Now, do people walk away and all that stuff? Sure. Does that mean they're not saved anymore? I have no idea. I don't know. Again, I always go back to how close to the edge of the cliff do you really want to get before you fall off, okay? Just stay away from the cliff, the edge of it, okay? Just follow Jesus. In Christ, there's no condemnation. There should be no fear of judgment in that sense, being pronounced upon you by God himself, because the judgment has been pronounced on his son on the cross. He took that for you and for me. So he starts off with this beautiful, beautiful proclamation that should set every single one of us free. Free from performance, free from, well, I don't want to say free from guilt, because if you're doing bad stuff and you feel guilty, There's a reason you feel guilty, okay? That's called the Holy Spirit convicting you, and you need that, okay? So you can repent and turn away from that stuff. But you are free from condemnation. And you're going to have an enemy, his name is Satan, who loves to accuse. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he is constantly going to be accusing you of all the stuff you've ever done, all that. But the Lord is your defense, and he says, nope, covered by my blood, covered, 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 forgiven, forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so has he separated, you know, your sins and what you've done against God from that relationship that you have. So essentially, it's like it's done. The slate is wiped clean. And that's what Paul sets as the foundation in Romans 8 is you're covered. You're covered. I don't feel covered. In Christ, you're covered. I may not be able to convince you beyond your feelings, but feelings are not always true. They're not always accurate. But what we have is the written word of God that is concrete that says he has no condemnation for you at all, at all. And we don't need to address this in depth, but I will say this. That is not a license for you to do whatever you want to do. We've already covered this in previous chapters, okay? You just be covered by his blood does not mean you get to do whatever you want to do, especially concerning sin. And that's what we're going to cover in a handful of verses today is the fact that we have to be done. We have to be done with our former lifestyle. You have to be. So we're going to start in verse 12, okay? You guys will appreciate this, maybe. I'm reading from the New King James Version today. You're like, oh, finally, he got saved, and he's using the right Bible. Whatever, amen, get out of here. You should see my desk. My desk is covered with Bibles. I appreciate the way that the New King James frames this out for us, though, because they use some specific terms. I don't always agree with the New King James, just so I'm going to let you know that right now. We talk about that some other time. But in this portion of Scripture, I really love the way the terms that are used to describe what you have in Christ today, okay? So let's just read through this passage together. Starting in verse 12, we're going to go through verse 17. It says, therefore, all right? So we'll address that in a second. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Beautiful passage of Scripture. I hope and I pray, and I'm about to pray right now, but I pray that this changes your outlook on your relationship with God Almighty. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this amazing passage of Scripture. And Lord, as we venture into this, just looking at different terms and all that, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word today. Father, that you would, I pray that you would clear out any preconceived ideas, maybe what the world has conveyed about you, or maybe what legalism has conveyed about you, or even license, Lord. But we just want to hear from you and from your word today how amazing you are and what has been made available to us today. So we surrender our hearts, we surrender our minds, we surrender our attention and our focus to you, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, may you please just speak to our hearts, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So getting into this amazing passage of Scripture, but before we get into like the good stuff, so to speak, it's all good, but you know what I'm saying. We got to cover our flesh. Like, what do we have to do concerning this body, this sin nature, sinful nature that we still have with us? Because when you get saved, the sin nature doesn't like, it doesn't poof, it's gone. There's still a struggle there. There's going to be a battle because the process, like justification is like one and done. Justification, you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You recognize the fact that his death on the cross and his burial and resurrection has solved the debt that you owed. You have been justified by his actions. That's done. Forever done. Doesn't need to happen again. It's done. Sanctification is the process from your journey of surrendering to Jesus until the day you either die or are raptured up into his presence. That's a process of sanctification, okay? That's not an immediate thing. It isn't like you, as much as I want it to be, where you say, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You die for my sins. I believe that. I'm confessing that. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I'm all in. Boom, sanctified. Like, I never have another sinful thought. I never have another sinful action. That's not how it works. And you know that. And you know that. That's what sanctification is all about. It's a journey that God has you on. And all along the journey, you're going to make mistakes. Some of those will be purposeful, and some of those will be done out of ignorance. But the Lord, every step of the way, is there to pick you up, dust you off, and get you back on the right path. That's the beauty of this walk with Jesus. But the whole way to heaven, you're dealing with sinful flesh. You just are. The quicker we get to the fact that, like, that's true about us, I think the pressure gets taken off our shoulders a little bit. Because if you're like me, I'm a perfectionist, which means I'm a performer in one sense. When it comes to religion, I got to like check all the boxes, because that's what's going to make God happy and pleased with me, is if I check all the boxes. And God forbid I don't check a box, because then, oh, I just blew it. It's all over. It's done. I got to start all over again. And God's like, that's not how this thing works. It's a relationship thing. We have to deal with the flesh. We can't ignore the flesh. You can't just like turn a blind eye to the flesh and be like, well, hopefully it'll go away. We've gone through this. Romans chapter 6, Paul presented this to us, that the fact that our sinful nature, we were crucified with Christ, but our sinful nature is not exterminated, or it hasn't gone extinct. It's just been rendered ineffective. And basically, it's been rendered powerless. I use the illustration of, if you can imagine, you got you're new in Christ Jesus, but your old you is kind of there, paralyzed basically from the neck down. But he's with you everywhere you go, blabbing all the time, either trying to make you feel bad about things you used to do or may have done, but then also trying to woo you back to the good old days. And I'm telling you, from the day you get saved to the day you die, he will be present with you every step of the way. Now, how you handle that is up to you. Okay, so in Christianity, we have to be active. And in one sense, we need to be proactive. Okay, you can't just be like, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. Or like if you ever watched scary movies as a kid, scary scene comes up, cover your head with the blanket. The idea is, well, if they can't see me, then I'm not here. I don't even know how the bad guys get out of the TV screen, but that's child logic, right? And sometimes we do that as Christians. We just like, if I can just bury my head in the sand, then it's not real. No, your temptations and desires and stuff are very real, and you need to learn how to deal with those. And that's what Paul is saying. Verse 12, he starts this off with like, therefore, concerning what he just wrote in those first 11 verses, basically, but these tremendous truths that you have, the fact that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, the fact that you're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. This is how you live and function now. The body is dead because of sin. The spirit, I'm just rephrasing some verse 10 and 11 here, because the spirit is life and of righteousness. But if the spirit, verse 11, of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he does, if you're a Christ follower, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. With this amazing truth of the fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. You can say no to temptation, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We got to reckon this to be true. Paul's already stated that. We have to, like, yes, do the math. This adds up. This is true. But you don't understand the pull of the temptation. I absolutely understand the pull of the temptation. I absolutely do. You know who else does? Jesus. The book of Hebrews spells it out beautifully for us. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with us. He knows what it feels like to be tempted in all ways. But he overcame that. What Paul is reminding us of is, man, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. So therefore, with that in mind, brethren, we are debtors. However, we are not debtors to our flesh. You owe your flesh nothing. The flesh is just a really strange word, especially if you haven't grown up in church, right? Like I told you guys, my sister kept saying that to me, and she was in church, and I really wasn't. And she's like, I'm wrestling with my flesh. And I'm like, how are you wrestling with your flesh? Like, that doesn't make sense. Oh, your sinful nature. I get that. Even as a non-believer, I understood that, because I understood sin. Sin was fun. I got it. I understood that. I don't know why you'd wrestle against it, but yeah, I understand. And then I got saved, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the struggle is real, isn't it? It's crazy. But we are debtors not to the flesh or not to our sinful nature. You owe your flesh, your sinful nature. You owe that thing nothing. You've been freed from it. Freed from it. You don't need to live according to the flesh. In fact, Paul says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Period. If you're constantly giving in to your fleshly urges, death is on your doorstep. And it could be physical death. It could be separation from this or from that. It could be lost opportunities. It's just death, and death is not what we're destined for. It's not who we are as Christians. You've been reborn to live life to the fullest in one sense, to have life and life abundantly is what Jesus would say. Not to have death and death abundantly, okay? You've been set free through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross so that you would be free, that you would live as free individuals and with the power and the ability to say no to your fleshly temptation. Now, are you going to bat 1,000 on this? No, of course you're not. None of us are. None of us are hitting it out of the park every single day with temptation and flesh. The more you dig into the Word of God, the more you spend time praying, the more I believe you spend time with fasting. And there's a whole bunch of other, you know, Christian principles that we should be living by. The weaker the pull is. That would be opposite, and that would be horrible, right? Then you wouldn't read your Bible at all because you're like, wait a minute, sometimes it feels that way if we're honest, right? Have you ever experienced that? You read the Bible, you're like, I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day and do all this stuff. And then the temptation like amps up. So I don't know if you've experienced that or not, but welcome to my world. The ability to say no, however, is diminished over time. It doesn't mean you're never going to sin, but the pull of the flesh gets weaker the closer you grow to the Lord Jesus. That's not me saying this. Most of Paul's writing is concerning that. Like, draw closer to the Lord. The book of James is like, man, draw closer to the Lord. Like, press in. Like, go deeper with the Lord. Why? Because the closer you get to him, man, that fleshly nature that you have, it loses its power. What are you feeding it? If you feed it, it's going to get stronger. If you starve it, it gets weaker. I mean, that's just an elementary principle. You guys into sci-fi? There's no condemnation, right? Like, I'm not setting you up. You know, I was reminded of this. I never saw the original one. I think I probably saw the remake, but there's this movie called The Blob. This blob thing, I don't know if it's alien or something like that, but it lands on Earth. The more it was fed, the stronger it got. The stronger it got, and the bigger it got, and the more imposing it got. The outlook of humanity was like, we can't win against this thing. Until they found a way to overpower or to overcome this alien thingy. Its weakness was cold, right? So you freeze this goo, and then you put it in a box and drop it off in Alaska somewhere. Then it loses all its power. That's essentially what we need to do with our old fleshly nature. Like, are you feeding it? Because if you're feeding it, it's just going to get stronger. And if you're frustrated with like, man, I can't get any victory. Well, are you feeding it or are you starving it? Because if you're just feeding it junk all the time, if you're just saying yes all the time, it's just going to get stronger. And you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get frustrated. Then you're going to blame God as if it's his fault. And you're the one who's like spoon feeding your flesh. Are you feeding the Spirit? See, if you feed the Spirit, you get stronger. Get into the Word of God. Read, study, apply the Word of God. Pray, fast, give, witness, share, represent. Feed the Spirit, it gets stronger. It gets stronger, and then the result is the Spirit gets stronger, the flesh gets weaker. That's the battle here. It's very practical. It's very elementary in one sense. What you feed gets stronger. What you starve gets weaker. This is what Paul's saying. He's like, we have this battle that we're engaged in, but we have to kill the flesh. You got to starve that thing. You got to say no. Just say no, right? We were taught that all throughout elementary school. Like, just say no. But you don't understand how hard it is. I actually do. My area may be different from your area, but it's all the same. Temptation is all the same in one sense. It all falls under the umbrella of sin. So whether yours is this and mine is that, it doesn't matter. We all know the strength that it can sometimes have over us. That's why we all need to be just proactive in committing ourselves to the Lord Jesus. And before you even roll out of bed, it's like, Holy Spirit, please fill me today. I was praying that before I went to sleep last night because I was like, Lord, okay, here's the deal. Tomorrow's not promised, okay? So this is my conversation with God as I'm laying in bed. Like, tomorrow's not promised, right? And I got to get up and teach from Romans chapter 8, which is super intimidating for me. So I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, here's what I, like, so in case tomorrow comes, how about you just fill me now? And he's like, well, you're going to sleep. And I'm like, I know, but I kind of need a lot of it. And then I'll ask you again in the morning when I wake up. And that's exactly what I did. I want to be as proactive as possible to be like, starve my flesh, feed the Spirit. I want this area of my life to get stronger so that these areas of my life get weaker and weaker as we go. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. I wish it was a one and done thing, but it's not. It's not. As with anything that's worthwhile having, it takes work and preparation and investment. And you got to just stay committed to it and just keep showing up and keep showing up. You have to do away with the flesh. You got to destroy the flesh by removing it from its environment. This is back to my little blob illustration. You got to take it out of the environment, remove it from the environment in which it thrives. So whatever that temptation is for you, you might physically have to remove yourself from certain environments. There might be some places where you just can't go anymore. You know what? You're going to be okay. You will be okay. You're going to be great. You'll be fine. You won't miss it. Initially, you'll think like you're missing out on something. That FOMO, fear of missing out. Ignore that lie and just make a change of address. Like, I don't live there anymore. My flesh used to thrive there, but I don't go there anymore. I don't visit those places anymore.
Have you heard these words before? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These are the words found in Romans 12:2. Simply put, don't do as the world does, do as Jesus does. As you sacrifice doing life the way the world tells you to, and you focus on how God says to do things, you start to look and live more and more like Jesus. And as the verse states, your life will be a living testament to what's good and acceptable and perfect. We hope that today's word brought some encouragement to your soul, and it deepened your faith in Jesus. If today's message raised some questions for you, please reach out to us by going to breadforthebroken.com. Clicking on the contact tab at the top of the page will get you started on a line of communication with us. We look forward to hearing from you. In case you missed it, it was breadforthebroken.com. Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle comes out of Calvary Galveston, a church that's dedicated to speaking the name of Jesus into every life that tunes into this radio broadcast. If you're not in the area to spend time with us on Sunday mornings, would you go to breadforthebroken.com to live stream our service? We promise your faith will grow. While you're there, and if the Lord leads you to do so, there's a specific spot for donations of any size. We're so grateful that you took the time to be with us today. Thanks for listening, and we trust that you'll be back for more here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of humanity.